Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1, and I'm going to go through 15. And you can find this starting on page 1655 of your pew Bibles. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 barley leaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those that had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Does a miracle have to appear magical and mysterious to be a miracle? Does a miracle require that something happens that cannot physically happen in our world, something that we cannot physically do? Or can a miracle be that someone's heart is changed and they are willing to do something they were unwilling to do before? Though it was physically and practically possible, it would have never happened before their heart had changed. Apologies to everyone. This is going to be the summer of Fred Rogers illustrations. This one's not actually about Fred, though. Fred is, he's the point, but he's not who I want you to look at. If you go online, you can find this video of Fred Rogers speaking in front of the Senate Subcommittee on Communication. This committee had gathered in a hearing to likely cut the funding of public television. And Fred gave this impassioned Fred Rogers-style speech. Wonderful speech, amazing speech. The sort of thing that only Fred Rogers could do, honestly. And many people credit him and that speech with saving public television. Fred Rogers did what Fred Rogers did. It wasn't miraculous that he got up in front of these people and gave this speech, because it was exactly what you would expect Fred Rogers to do. Instead, I watch this video and I focus more on Senator John Pastore. He was the one who was ready to cut the funding. He was ready to just get rid of public television. When the video starts, you see this aggressive man who's just ready. He has no desire to listen to this man talk. He is just ready to be done. He is ready to cut the funding and get rid of it. And then, as Fred Rogers speaks, you see a man soften. You see a man in 6 minutes go from ready to destroy public television to ready to save it. It was miraculous. He was ready. He was destined to destroy it. And in those 6 minutes, his heart changed and public television was saved. I personally believe, and I know that I have a bias towards Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We know this, but I truly believe that public television has improved the world through shows like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and other things. It has increased our cultural awareness. It has done so much for the world. And in those 6 minutes, a miracle happened to save public television. Does a miracle require something magical and mysterious, or can a miracle be a changing of heart? We can look at this story from John with Jesus feeding the 5,000 in a couple different ways. The main way, and the way you've probably heard every time, is this miracle. Jesus took these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes, and out of thin air, he broke them and created more food. Out of thin air, he was able to multiply this food and feed 5,000. And it's a wonderful miracle. It proves Jesus' divine power. It proves that he is God. It proves that he loves these people, and he is willing to work a miracle to feed them. It's a wonderful reading of this story, and may very well be what happened. But it's not the only way to look at this story. You can also look at this story as 5,000 changed hearts. You can look at this story that 5,000 people did not just follow Jesus from their homes without bringing food with them. You can look at this story as 5,000 people who followed a healer, who followed somebody who had shown them love and compassion, who had taught them, who had healed their people. And so, in the midst of that teaching and that healing, they see this boy or this girl, this child come forward with barely enough for one person and offer it for all. And in the midst of all of this, 5,000 hearts are changed. And instead of holding their food for themselves, they just put their food out there. 5,000 who had brought food, gave it out, shared it with their neighbors. There was enough there for everyone to feast and to have 12 baskets full of food afterward. Now, a lot of people don't like this reading. There are a lot of people who resist this reading. I had somebody I went to seminary with who was like, but this completely gets rid of the mystery of God. And in a way, it does. It takes this thing that is a mysterious and magical miracle, something that we can't understand, something that we cannot do, and it changes it into something that we could do, that we could be a participant in, if we could just get over our broken selves. If we look at it this way, it does, in fact, take away some of the mystery of God and brings it down to something we can understand. But I ask a question. Every time I read this passage and I look at it both ways, I ask myself, which is the larger miracle? Is the larger miracle Jesus, the same Jesus who had already turned water into wine, the same Jesus who had been healing people, making bread come out of thin air? Or is the larger miracle that 5,000 hearts changed and those 5,000 people were willing to give of their riches to feed each other? Which is the larger miracle? Which miracle has a greater unbelievability? Because if we believe in Jesus, we believe that Jesus could turn water into wine, that Jesus could heal people, that Jesus died on the cross to save us, that Jesus was perfect and divine. It's not a giant leap to believe that he made bread appear. It's part of what we believe. It is much more difficult for me to believe that 5,000 people, after hearing him speak and after seeing this boy give his food, would be willing to give of what they had brought to feed each other. For me, that is the larger miracle. That is the more miraculous thing. That 5,000 hearts changed because of love. But we don't want that Jesus a lot of the time. We prefer vending machine Jesus or wizard Jesus. You insert your prayer, you press a button, and your needs are fulfilled. My phone is not on silent. I would rather you pull it out of your pocket and do that. We like vending machine Jesus. Vending machine Jesus is awesome. And part of why vending machine Jesus is awesome is because we have no part in that. Our miracles, we don't have to create. Not that we are miracle workers, but we don't have to participate in these miracles. We simply rely on God's divine hand to fix our world. If we just pray and press the right buttons, God will give us what we need. And especially as Reformed Christians, who believe that we cannot save ourselves, this version of Jesus just fits right in with us because we have no participation in this. It's all just Jesus' power. We like vending machine Jesus. We don't like Jesus of love and change because that requires something from within us. That requires us to acknowledge that Jesus has changed us and that we need to sacrifice of ourselves to improve this creation. It isn't a vending machine where we can enter our prayer and everything's going to be okay. It requires us to be changed by Jesus and to work at changing our world. The Jesus of love and change is not some sort of magical mystery. It is somebody came to earth to show us the way, and we have an active participation in those miracles. We are the small boy bringing the loaves and fishes. We are the 5,000 giving of what we have to feed each other, and so much is left over. That's the Jesus of love and change. That's the Jesus of changed hearts and changed minds. Not magical mystery tour, but love and compassion and change. When I pray, I absolutely pray for the magical and mysterious looking miracles. I absolutely pray for healing that cannot be explained. I pray for wars to end through means we cannot explain. I pray that resources come, that rain comes. I pray for these things that I cannot affect on my own. But I also pray for the strength to do what I can do. I pray for the strength to give of myself. I pray that others, especially those in leadership, can have the strength to communicate with hearts and minds to work to change. I pray for the miracle that the hearts of those that are causing pain may be changed so they do not cause pain anymore. I pray for strength and for healing. Not magically and mysteriously, but to just acknowledge that my heart has been changed and all of our hearts have been changed, and that we are active participants in this world, and we can affect change in this world. Do you want just the magical and mysterious miracles? Do you want to be able to pray, and again, vending machine Jesus, pray correctly, the blessing comes down, everything is great? Or do you also want to be changed by Christ in a way that empowers you to do the work of healing the world? Do you only recognize Jesus making bread multiply in thin air as a miracle? Or can you recognize 5,000 hearts being changed as a miracle? I pray for the strength to do what I can in this world. Not necessarily giant things. No one in that crowd fed all of the 5,000. But the willingness to feed and do what I can, and the strength to stand up and do it. You are a changed people. You are a loved people commanded to love. May you act in that change, act in love, and perform the miracles of changing hearts and changing lives. May you have the strength to answer the call of your changed heart. I'm not asking for magic. I'm just asking for love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.